All right, we're going to start on the top of Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, a couple of lines down where it starts by the pasuk they quote from Yirmiyahu. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, "Madua shovva ha'am hazeh Yerushalayim." Why are these people, these rebellious people of Yerushalayim, right? The mishuva nitzachat. They're eternally rebellious. So why is it? What is this eternal rebellion? Amarab, tshuva nitzachet heshiva knesset Yisrael le'navi. Yisrael had a good answer, or a strong taina, to the Navi when the Navi spoke to them. Amarlam Navi Yisrael, chazru b'tshuva. The Navi says to Bnei Yisrael, "It's time to do tshuva. Abu techem shechatu, heichanem. Your forefathers that have sinned, where are they? They're not here anymore. So it's maybe a good idea that you might want to try a different path than your forefathers." So they responded to them. So Amru, it's probably lo. It shouldn't probably read in the hand, but Amru lo. Unuvi echem shalochatu echanem. And your Nevi'im who didn't sin, where are they? They're also dead. They also passed away. I mean, you have no evidence from the fact that our forefathers aren't here that they did something wrong. You know, the Nevi'im who supposedly did something right, they're also not here. So that can't be the differentiation. Shenemar, because it says, the pasuk here is describing this conversation. Avotechem ayehem. Right? So where are your forefathers? V'anevi'im alom yilichyu. And the Nevi'im, are they going to live forever? There in Zechariah, it's talking about that they didn't take the chastisements of the Nevi'im. So your forefathers aren't here because they didn't take the chastisements. And how long, how many Nevi'im can I keep around until they do the right thing? But now the Gemara is playing on this conversation, which is saying, Avotechem ayehem is the Navi speaking to Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael was speaking to them. Anevi'im alom la'olam yichyu. They respond. So Amar lahem, chazru ve'odu. So he says, come back or be hodeh. Shenemar, ach dvarai b'chukai asher tziviti avadai anevi'im. Come back and be at least admit that you did something wrong, do tshuva. Because
the Navi says to them, your forefathers at least ended up in Olam Haba because they did tshuva. They listened to the Navi and they ended did tshuva. If you don't listen, then you're not going to get there. So chazru v'odu, at least you should do is do tshuva at this point in time.
I say now, there's a machlokas
with Maharsha and the
Sefer Ben Yoyada about the sequencing of the Gemara over here. Is the Gemara saying, for instance, the way I read it, which was that the Navi says to them, listen, please, do tshuva. And they say, well, and he says, because then your forefathers aren't here because they sinned, you should do tshuva so something else happens to you. And they respond to the Navi and say, no, you know, the Navi'im are no better off than our forefathers. And if you claim the Navi'im did something right, how come they're not here with us as well? So that's the question answer according to the Sefer Ben Yoyada. On the other hand,
the Maharsha,
she reads the Gemara as being all part of the original position. The question over here does not start, or there's not a response from the people, is not the Pasuk in Zechariah. Pasuk in Zechariah is not a proof that the Avotechem and the Nevi'im are equal, but rather a response to the people, which is like this. Rashi reads this, Amalam Navi Yisrael, Chazru b'tshuva, Avotechem, Shechatu Eichanheim. So Amar lo, they respond to the Navi, Unavichem, Shechatu Eichanheim. Where are you in the Nevi'im? Shneemar, no. And then the Neemar, Shneemar over here is not a part of their question, but rather a response. Avotechem ayehem, v'nevi'im lalom yechiu. Wait a minute. Your question about the Nevi'im is not a good question. What do you want? Nevi'im to live forever? Of course they're not going to be around here. Your point about the fact that Nevi'im aren't alive is not equal or equate to the fact that your forefathers are not alive. Your fathers aren't alive because they didn't do what's right. The Nevi'im aren't around because they don't live forever. That's why, what's the answer? The answer is Shchazru Ve'odu. Modeh, that the Navi was right, because it says, Achtavarai Chukai Shetziviti Ravadai Nevi'im. And then they came around to the position of the Navi, that the truth is right, that Nevi'im can't live forever. And the requirement of them, or the demand of them, is that they actually do what the Navi asks of them. So according to the Sefer Ben Yoyada, the tshuva, or the response of the people, is the Nevi'im aren't around, and that was a good response. Then afterwards, he says to them, look, at least try to do tshuva. Then
the Maharsha,
she seems to indicate that the Navi is coming back at them and saying, don't think that your answer is a good answer, because the Nevi'im can't live forever. And if the Nevi'im can't live forever, then you need to do, or the only thing you could do is at least, you know, come back. That you have to come back. And they said, okay, you're right. We have to do tshuva, at least do some tshuva, because you have a good answer for us. Okay, Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says this was their answer. Bo'u asara b'nei Adam v'yashuvu lifanav. 10 people came and sat before the fanav over here, Yechezkel and Avi. Amalayim chazru b'tshuva. He says, let's do tshuva. Amalo eved shemachro rabo v'yishar shegirsha ba'ala klum yesh leze al ze klum. Says if a eved is sold by a slave that's sold by its master, a woman is divorced by her husband, what claim does the master of the husband have on the individual anymore? So also over here, we were sold into slavery to Nebuchadnezzar. If Hashem sold us to Nebuchadnezzar, then how can he have any demands of us anymore? He's no longer the Baal. I mean, Hashem is no longer the Adon, no longer our master. He sold us to a new master, and therefore he can't have any claims against us. So, Hashem says to Yechezkel, Lechem or Lehem, tell him this. Ezo Sefer Kritut Imechem Asher Shilachtia. Where is the get, Gerushin, that your mother got that I sent away? Omi Mino Shai Asher Machartia Tchemlo. Who here is a creditor that I sold you to? Hein Babotechem Nimkartem. You were sold because of your sins, ubishechem shulcha imechem, and because of your iniquities or your wrongdoing, your mother was sent away. So the answer of Hashem is enochanami, that you were sold into slavery or that you were divorced, but the slavery and the divorce did not come from my side. I did not give you a get. I did not sell you into slavery. It's your bad deeds and your actions that did it. Now, if that's the case, you can't make a claim now, oh, we're divorced, therefore you have no claim against me. You are the ones who divorced yourselves from me. You are the ones who sold yourselves into slavery. You're the ones who can rectify the problem. So this is V'hainu Damar Reish Lakish. This is similar to a statement of Reish Lakish. My dechtiv, what does it mean? David Avdi, which is understandable why David is called the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, when it says Nebuchad, over here, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says Nebuchadrezzar, and then there's a Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel Avdi. So when you say Nebuchadrezzar Avdi, talking about Nebuchadrezzar, call him an Avdi. How could you call him an Avdi? The servant of Hashem? Why would that Toar is something for someone who's special, someone who's unique. Why would you give it to Nebuchadrezzar? So Galoi Biyadol Lifnei Misha Amar Vayel Ulam Shatidim Yisrael Amar Kach. Hashem knew that Bnei Yisrael would make this claim, that if they were sold to a new master, they don't have to follow the word of Hashem. So Hashem went out of his way to call Nebuchadrezzar Avdi, the servant, my servant. Eved shekana nechasim, eved lemi, nechasim lemi. A servant who acquires possessions, who does the eved belong to, and who do the possessions belong to? Ein achanami, you were sold to Nebuchadrezzar, you were sold to him. But he is my servant. So when he bought you, if I own the servant, I own you too. So you were never sold to a new owner, right? I own the servant and I own you. So since I own Nebuchadnezzar, I also own you. So that's the response. Or like Reish Lakish, that's the response to the people, that you are not freed at all. You are not let off the hook over here. Ve'ola arochem hayo, and that which enters your mind that you think, or what you think should happen, lo tiyah, it will not happen. Asher atem omrim niyek goyim, like you say, want to say that we want to be like the other nations, kimishbechot haratzot, like the families of the land, the sharet eitz v'aven, to serve, right, the trees and the stones, chay ani nu'um Hashem adukim, right, Hashem takes a shvua, im lo biyad chazaka, ubzura nutiyah, with a strong arm and a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and full of anger, emloch aleichem, I will rule over you. Whether you like it or not, I will rule over you. And that's the pasuk in Yechezkel, that it doesn't matter. You think you're going to be freed by when you sinned and you got sold into slavery or you got sold to a new owner, that you're free and you can do whatever you want. That's not true. Hashem says, I will ensure that I rule over you, whether you like it or not, I'm going to be the king. So that's the response to the Bnei Yisrael. They said, oh, we thank Shmuel says that Bnei Yisrael thought they had the trump card, that, oh, we don't have to serve you, Hashem, anymore because we were sold, we were divorced. Hashem says, number one, first of all, you divorced and you're the one who sold, got yourselves in trouble. So first, you have to rectify it. Number two is the Reish Lakish says, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, and therefore if he's my servant, when you were sold to him, you were sold to me, and so you're not free either. And the last thing, it brings the pasuk from Yechezkel that it's not, you can't, don't think you can do what you want. Hashem is going to rule over against your will. So Amar Rav Nachman, Koki Hai Ritcho, Lirta Chachman Alan, Ulufru Kinan. Rav Nachman says, let Hashem get angry like this. We need some of that anger and to redeem us and to free us. Meaning that Hashem's promising that we're going to rule over you against your will. Rav Nachman says, bring it on. That's exactly what we want. We want that Hashem to rule over us and let him come. We can't wait anymore. We need to see the Geula, and against our will, he should rule over us and bring us and redeem us. So now we have the response of Rav, the response of Shmuel about what was the response of Bnei Israel to the Navis, asking them to do tshuva. According to Rav, when Yirmiyahu came to ask them to do tshuva, the people said, no, we don't have to do tshuva because the Nevi'im are no better off than our forefathers. And Yirmiyahu responded to them, no, that's not true. The Nevi'im, what do you want? Either according to Rashi, what do you want? The Nevi'im to live forever? According to the Ben Sefer Ben Yoyada, that the requirement, or all Hashem asks from you is to listen to the word of the Nevi'im. He didn't ask where the Nevi'im are. He asked you to listen to the word of the Nevi'im. And Shmuel says that this conversation happened with Yechezkel about them being freed of Hashem's rule. And Hashem responded, no, that you are not free of my rule. And Rav Nachman says, you know, in the end, let's just have some of that angry anger that Hashem promised to redeem us with. Let's have it now. V'yisruel mishpat elukav yorenu. Right, they will be rebuked through the judgment of God that He teaches them. Yorenu. Amar Rabba Barchana Amar Lahem Navi Yisrael Chazru v'tshuva. Do tshuva. Amar Lo Ein Anu Yicholim. We're not possible for us to do this. Yetzer hara shalei debano. The Yetzer hara is too strong for us. It's too much for us. Amar Lahem Yisru Yitzrachem. He said, take care of your Yetzer hara. You're going to have to press, you're going to have to be strong against it. You're going to have to punish it. You're going to have to afflict it and make it work. Amrulo, they said back to Navi, Elukav Yorenu, that Hashem should show us the way. I mean, that we need Hashem's intervention. We need Hashem's help in order to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So similar, there's the Garato in the end of Sukkah that talks about the Yetzer Hara. Over there, the Gemara talks about how the Atid Lavo, the Rishim, will see that the Yetzer Hara is not so big. But also says over there that the Yetzer Hara is so strong, and had it not been, or is not for the fact that Hashem intervened and gave us the help, then we wouldn't be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So similar idea over here, that we are asking for Hashem's help in overcoming the Yetzer Hara. There, the Gemara also suggests that you should drag him to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah, to overcome him. But there are different ways. It's not so easy to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and therefore we ask Hashem for His intervention with regards to dealing with the Yetzer Hara. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. Arba hejotot bilam do'eg achitofa v'gechazi. So we deal with the kings that don't have olam haba. Now we're dealing with the lay people that don't have olam haba. So the first in that list is Bilam. So Gemara says, Bilam, what does Bilam mean? He says, bilo am. Davar acher bilam shebala am. All right, so now there's two below am. So if you look here in the on the side, the Ein Mishpat brings down Girsat Aruch Bala Am, not below am with an aleph, but Bala Am with an ayin. Perishi Atz Etzot Livloa Am Yisrael. That he gave advice how to destroy Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Benot Midyan. Right, he's the one who gave the advice to destroy Klal Yisrael, or that he tried to curse Klal Yisrael. So that's one reason, Bala Am, that he tried to swallow them up. And Davar Acher is Bilam is below am. The other one is that the other one was with an aleph. Perish in lo chilek im Yisrael. Olam is with an aleph that he doesn't have any portion along with Klal Yisrael. Because of his death, we're going to see this drush in a minute, that he doesn't have a chilek l'olam haba, that he doesn't have a portion like the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Rashi, on the other hand, brings down below am. So he says below am, like we just explained now, which is she'in lo chilek im am. Then bala'am with a hey should bilbel Yisrael ba'atzato. He messed up. He mixed up, messed up in Israel with the advice that he gave about the Benot Midyan. that he peel mayhem chavtad elafim caused 24,000 bnei Yisrael to die in the plague that happened afterwards. So Rashi reads it as below with an aleph in the first case and bila with a hey in the second instance, which is that he mixed them up. So in the end, they come out to the same idea, but using different words. Either you say bala with an ayin to swallow and below without, and then, or you have below with an aleph and bila with a hey. So either way, you come to the same conclusion, but these are different parts of Bilam. What's Ben Be'or? So the son of Be'or, Sheba'al Be'ir, that he slept with his animal. And there's bestiality here. Be'ir is the animal, Sheba'al Be'ir. Now, Ben Be'or, so the question is that, the way Rashi reads it is that his father, it's talking about Be'or, his father slept with an animal, although we're going to see later in the Gemara that Bilam himself slept with the animal. So it's unclear here to me if the Gemara means Ben Be'or is that refers to his father, that his father slept with the animal, or Ben Be'or means it's a reference to Bilam. Bilam, the one who slept with the animal. Right, Tana, who Be'or, who Kushan Rishatayim, who Levan Arami. So all of these individuals, the Gemara equates to being the same person, which is Be'or, Kushan Rishatayim, and Levan Arami, because they all come from the same place of Aram Naharaim. They all come from the same location. One of them, Be'or, which is obviously found in Parshat Balak, Kushan Rishatayim, which is found in Sefer Shoftim, and Levan Arami, who is obviously found in a Sefer Bereshit. Be'or, Sheba Al Be'ir. Again, Be'or is that he slept with an animal. Kushan Rishatayim. Why is his name Kushan Rishatayim? Davad Shtei Rishayot B'Yisrael. That he did two bad or two evil things to Bnei Yisrael. Achad B'Yimei Yaakov, which is Levan. Achad B'Yimei Shvoto Shoftim. And another in the time of the Shoftim, which is Kushan Rishatayim. Umashmo, his real name is Levan Harami. Right, which is, his real name is Levan Harami. And that's what we say by the Arami Oved Avi, right, that Levan tried to destroy Bnei Yisrael, just like Kushan Rishatayim did, and just like Be'or, Bilam ben Be'or, tried to destroy Bnei Yisrael. So I would say that again, that the idea that we express this with Yerovam ben Nevat, that the Gemara said Nevat was Micha and Sheva ben Michri, and over there explained that they were the spiritual fathers of Yerovam, because one of them was Sheva ben Michri was the first to be Moreid b'Malchut Beit David. Micha is the first one to institutionalize Avodah Zarah. And Ravam is their spiritual son. He does both. He splits out of Malchut Beit David and he institutionalizes Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael. So over here you have to say the same thing over here, that Bilam is the spiritual son of Lavan and Kushan Rishatayim. And the fact that the destruction of Bnei Yisrael, Bilam actually tries in two ways to destroy Bnei Yisrael. He tries, one is the Klala, he tries to curse them, and he tries to go to the Derech of Hashem and curse them and destroy them. And then he tries the other way, which is through the Benot Midyan. He tries to seduce them and to, capture them in a way that is, much more physical. That he actually, seduces them in order to cause them the problem. And we can say the same thing here by Levan Arami and Kushan Rishatayim, that when we say that they are the spiritual fathers of Bilam, when we say that there were Shtei Rishayot B'Yisrael, there were two attacks on Bnei Yisrael, one in the time of Yaakov, and one in the time of Shvot HaShoftim, one of them being the physical attack on Bnei Yisrael, and the other one being the spiritual attack on Bnei Yisrael, right, that Levan is trying to, Akor et Akol, is trying to trap Yaakov, try to keep him in Aram Naharaim, he tricks him, he tries to switch things around. I mean, that there are two types of games that are played on Bnei Yisrael. One which is the spiritual danger, and the other one is the physical danger. And Bilam tries to work both of those angles in order to destroy Bnei Yisrael, and therefore he's the spiritual son of both Kushan Rishatayim and Levan Arami. Right, the Gemara continues. Tiv ben Be'or, right? So in the beginning of the Parshat Balak, it says Bilam ben Be'or. Uchtiv, and later on, when he speaks, when he's giving the klalot or the brachot, really, that he gives in the end, when he's speaking to Balak, he says Beno Be'or. Calls himself Beno Be'or, which indicates it sounds like Be'or is the one, his son. That it's Bilam Beno Be'or, meaning that he's the one that is the father, and his son is Be'or. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Aviv Benohu Beneviut. The reason his father is called his son is because he was on a lower level of prophecy than the father. So Bilam was really the son of Be'or, but in other aspects, in the side of Nevuah, he was the father to Be'or, because he was a greater form of Nevuah than his father Be'or had. So now the Gemara says, makes a statement here. It's a very important statement. It has many, many nafkaminot, and I'll work on that with you in a second. I'll send out the makorot later so you can see them. Which is, Bilam hu delo ate la'almudate. The Gemara basically asks, or is asking a question, but it's almost a rhetorical question over here. The list in the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yeshulam chelek l'olam haba. All Bnei Yisrael have an entitlement to the chelek l'olam haba, except the Mishnah has an exception to that. It gives you the kings, and then it gives you the hedyotot. Now, based on the header, it says, Kol Yisrael yeshulam chelek l'olam haba. We're talking about Bnei Yisrael. So if I was to give you a list of individuals that don't have olam haba, I'd give you a list of Jews that don't have olam haba. Why is Bilam in that list? Bilam is not a Jew. So if Bilam's not a Jew, why is he listed as someone who doesn't have olam haba? What's the implications from that? And that's what the Gemara says over here. Bilam hu dwo da'ati la'ma da'ati. He's the one who doesn't reach olam haba. Ha achrine atu. That implies from that, that other non-Jews are entitled to olam haba. There is a possibility for a non-Jew to reach olam haba. So that's the statement. The Gemara says, Matitan Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yeshua he. So Rabbi Yeshua is the author of our Mishnah. Detani, you have a Tosefta. Now I'm going to read you the Tosefta as it's worded in our Gemara. If you read the Tosefta in our Gemara, it makes no sense. It's very hard to understand what the Gemara is asking, and that's because the redactors got to this Braita. And then I'll bring you the alternative Girsa that's in the Ohud Svarim, and I'll bring you the Tosefta, which is actually much more intact, and from there you'll be able to see the difference between the two opinions. Because over here, the way our Gemara reads, you have a machlokas here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, and they actually in our Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say the exact same thing. The time, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yeshuvo Rishayim L'Shola. The Rishayim should return to the deep graves. Kol Goyim Shechei Elukim. All those nations that have forgotten God. So now Rabbi Eliezer says, what does it mean, Yeshuvo Rishayim L'Shola? That the evil ones will return to the grave or to the depths. Elu Poshe Yisrael. These are the sinners of Bnei Yisrael who go down to Geinom, or those that possibly are not entitled to Olam Haba. Kol Goyim Shechei Elukim, all those that have forgotten, all the nations that have forgotten God, Elu Poshei Ovdei Kochavim. These are the evil doers amongst the nations. So according to the way our Gemara reads, Rabbi Elazar says, the evil people of Bnei Yisrael and the evil people of the non-Jews have the same fate, which is that they won't get Olam Haba. So that's the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Along comes Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua seems to ask a question. Rabbi Elazar doesn't make so much sense, which is, that's divrei Rabbi Elazar. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'chi ne'mar v'chol goyim. Does it say, and again, the word b'chol doesn't exist there. Again, the gears of the Sefer is clear, which is ne'mar v'chol goyim. Does it really say all nations? Halo ne'mar ela kol goyim. There's no connection between, you can't say that these are two different statements. You can't say that it's Yeshua Rishim L'Shola, and then there should be a Vav. V'kol goyim shechei elukim. And also, the nations that forget God. If that was the case, if there was a Vav there, I could understand that they were two separate statements. But there is no Vav there. If that's the case, Ela kol goyim shechei elukim. Right, it says, kol goyim shechei elukim, without a Vav. El Yeshuva Yishayim L'Shola, that the evil one should go back to the depths. Maninu. The pasuk is explaining to you who are the Rishayim in the first half of the pasuk. Those are kol goyim shechei elukim. Those are the goyim that forget Hashem. And therefore, that's the answer. Yeshuva Yishayim L'Shola, maninu, kol goyim shechei elukim. That all the goyim that forget God, those are the ones that call the Shola. What's the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? In the way we have the Braisa written, it's Rabbi Eliezer believes only the evildoers and the non-Jews don't go to Olam Haba. And the same thing Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yeshua says you can't say all non-Jews don't get Olam Haba. It has to be that only the Rishayim of the Umat Olam, they don't get Olam Haba. So in the end, the Gemara says, well, we're going like Rabbi Yeshua. But according to the Braita, they're both the same. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that non-Jews have Olam Haba, and the Poshim or the Rishayim don't get it. And that's because the redactor got to this, and the redactor ended in the word by Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of Poshei Ovdei Kochavim, that only the evildoers amongst the Ovdei Kochavim don't get Olam Haba. But the original Girsa in the Sfarim reads like this, which is that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is, I'll read it to you like this, which is the original Girsaot, and the Gemara's was, Kol Goyim Shkechei, Yashuv Rishayim L'Sheola, that the Rishayim should go down to the depths, Elu Poshei Yisrael. These are the sinners of Klai, so those that are not entitled to Olam Haba. Kol goyim shkarei elukim, all the goyim that forget God, elu, right, umot haolam. Period. those are the other nations. There's no poshe there. There's no modifier poshe, but umot haolam. I'll read you the Tosefta now, which sounds very similar. Rabbi Lezer Omer, kol goyim ein lehem chelik l'olam haba. Rabbi Lezer says it straight out. All goyim have no chelik l'olam haba. Now, based on that girsa and the girsa of the Tosefta, what is the Gemara saying? Gemara, Rabbi Lezer believes that umot olam have no entitlement to olam haba, period. Doesn't matter if they're good, doesn't matter if they're bad, they're precluded from or excluded from olam haba. So then along comes Rabbi Yeshua and says, wait, you misunderstood the pasuk. You can't read the pasuk the way you are, which is you split into two. The first half is poshe Yisrael. The second half is all non-Jews don't get olam haba. He says, then it should have been a vav between the two statements. The fact there isn't a vav makes it into one large statement. That one large statement says, only Rishayim of umot olam don't get olam haba. But the chassidei umot olam, they will get olam haba. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So now the machlokes is understood. Rabbi Eliezer believes that umot olam never get olam haba, period. Good or bad, they don't get it. According to Rabbi Yeshua, that's not true. Poshim, the rishayim of umot olam, don't get olam haba. But anybody else who's part of the umot olam will get olam haba. And that's why he's the author of our Mishnah. The author of our Mishnah says, Bilam is excluded from olam haba, implying that others in umot olam get olam haba. That is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. It's obviously why the redactor changed this part of the Gemara, in order to have no opinion that says that umot olam are not entitled to olam haba. By changing Rabbi Lezer to read poshe, he made it that both opinions say the same thing, that there is olam haba for non-Jews. But if you go back to the original Gersot, you'll see that Rabbi Lezer did not believe that. And that's why the Gemara says that this statement in our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yeshua, and not like Rabbi Eliezer. Right now, I'm just going to do this, spend a little bit of time. What does it mean that the umot olam actually get olam haba? What does that mean? So the Mishnah to Rabbi Eliezer explains that there is a difference between the chassidei umot olam and chassidei Yisrael. He says that the chassidei Yisrael are only called chassidim if they do kol haTorah kula. That's the requirement of a chassidei Yisrael, is to do the whole Torah. Whereas chassidei umot olam, if you want to be classified under this category of chassidei umot olam, all you have to do is the sheva mitzvot b'nei noach. So they're called, right, the chassidei umot olam are limited to the sheva mitzvot b'nei noach, whereas the chassidei Yisrael, a requirement to be of the chassidei Yisrael is you have to do the whole Torah kula. On that, here the Mishnah to Rabbi Lezer also modifies this slightly, and the Rambam is much clearer in this. There's a Rambam appears in a couple of places. One is in Hilchot Edut, he also talks about it in Hilchot Shuva, and in Hilchot Yisrei Bia. In Hilchot Melachim, he's much more explicit about it, which is, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvot, Nizhar LaSultan. Anybody accepts the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and does them, Arizeh Mechisidei Omot Olam. He is from the Chassidei Omot Olam, V'yesh Lo Chelek Le'olam Haba. He paskens like Rabbi Yeshua, that's a Chelek Le'olam Haba. V'hu, now he modifies it. V'hu Shikabel Otam, V'yaseh Otam Ipnei, Shetziva Behen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's only if he does the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach, because Hashem commanded them, B'Torah. V'ozianu Al-Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, they were taught to us through Moshe, Sh'B'nei Noach Mikodem Nitzavu Behem. Moshe told us that B'nei Noach had these commandments. Aval im asam ipnei hechrei adat, if he does them because he thinks it's right or moral, ein ze ger toshav, he doesn't qualify to be a ger toshav, ve'eino mechassidei haolam, ve'lo mechachmeihem. He's not from the chassidei haolam, and not of the chachamim. So Rambam makes it very clear that if you're chassidei haolam, and to gain olam haba, you have to do the shiva mitzvah noach, but you have to do them because Hashem commanded them. That's an important defining factor. The Kesem Mishnah says, where did the Rambam get that from? There's a machlokas, an argument between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Nobody says that you have to listen to do the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach because Hashem commanded them. So the Kesef Mishnah says about this qualification of the Rambam, Uma shekotav v'hu shekibel nearly sh'Rabbeinu omer kach misvara denafshei. It's his own svara. Saying this, v'nuchucha, he says it makes sense, or that it's nachon, right, that it makes sense that he's saying, but it's not something that's found in the Gemara. It's something that you could argue with, obviously, even though it seems to make sense, this qualification that the Rambam makes. Now, on this, the Or Sameach speaks about the Gemara in Baba Kama, which is that Amad, that once the Bnei Noach didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Amad v'hitir lehem. He went ahead and made them mutar. So here the Gemara says, not mutar, that they don't get punished for them, but mutar for the fact that they are only now rewarded as that enu mitzuvah v'oseh. They're no longer mitzuvim v'osim, but rather enu mitzuvah v'oseh. And that's what he describes over here, that the requirement originally of the Bnei Noach was to do the Shem Mitzvah because they were mitzuvim, because they were commanded by Hashem. And then their punishment over here when they stop keeping the Shem Mitzvah Noach is that they're no longer mitzuvim. And so therefore they can't, they'll get the schar, but they won't get as much schar anymore. They can't get to the level of those that are mitzuvim because they are no longer mitzuvim. A Sefer Yerim says that when it comes to the mitzvah of standing up or giving kabod to someone as a zakein, it says, "Lakum mipnei seival terbnei zakein v'yareitam lakecha tzivya kosh baruch hu b'parashat kedushim v'nei sevat akum v'tanya yisiv en Yehuda omer mipnei sevat akum kol seva b'mashma perish afilu goy." And even non-Jews, you have to give respect to their elders. And the Reim over here qualifies that and says, "Ach shekeim sheva mitzvot benelach shenitztavu danu chasidei omot holam." That when we say that you have to give respect to Zekenei Umot Olam, that comes, the Reim says that is only if they keep the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach that they were commanded by Hashem. They have to be of the Savei Amai, have to be of those that keep the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach in order to qualify for this privilege of having someone stand up for them. So that's the Sefer Yerim. The Sefer Yikarim, in a number, he discusses this 3-4 times. He discusses this about the fact that the Chassidei Umot Olam have a Chelek L'Olam Haba, but he's very uncomfortable. He says, how could it be that the Umot Olam gets Olam Haba, and Bnei Yisrael get Olam Haba, and they get the same reward? How could it be? Here a Jew keeps Kol HaTorah Kula, and he gets a reward, and here the Chassidei Umot Olam, they do Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and they get the same Olam Haba. So because of that discomfort, the Sefer Yikarim says that actually Olam Haba has two meanings. He's almost bridging what we talked about earlier in the Gemara, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam and many of the other Mefarshim. The Rambam means Olam Haba, means the Olam HaNefashot. In the Atid Lavo, the Olam HaNefashot, where we just are connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that there is no physical presence there. There's also Olam Haba, which according to many of the Mefarshim, is actually Achrei Tkiyat HaMitim, when there is physical presence. Sefer Yikarim over here actually says there's two Olam Haba, or two Olamot Habot, which is that there's an Olam Haba, which is the place where a person goes after he passes away. There's also an Olam Haba, which is Latid Lavo, like the Rambams. In the future, the way of future, where there'll be no more Gufim, there'll be no more physical presence, and all we will be Nenim Ziva Shkina. That's the further Olam Haba. So he says, when the Mishnah over here says that the Chassidei Umot Olam are entitled to Olam Haba, that's the Olam Haba that we're talking about when a person passes away. A person passes away, he goes to Olam Haba, that's the Olam Haba that we say that they're equivalent to Bnei Israel. But the Olam Haba, Latid Lavo, where their Nenim Ziva Shkina, that is unique to Bnei Israel, and that's a unique function of the Torah. It's a unique function of the Torah, and not a fact that they kept the Sheva Mitzvah in Noach, and therefore only Bnei Israel are entitled to that. So in order to differentiate between the Olam Haba of the Umot Olam and the Olam Haba of Bnei Israel, he creates two categories of Olam Haba. One which we share with the Umot Olam, just immediately after death, and the other one which is unique to Bnei Israel, which is only after Tchiyat HaMetim, like the Rambam's description of Olam Haba, Be'atid. There's a Shut Maram also, which distinguishes, makes the same point, that there's no way that the Chassidei Umot Olam, if they get Olam Haba, there's no way that they can be like a regular Bnei Israel. And that's what he says over here. He equates them to the, when we say Kol Yisrael Yishlem Bechem Olam Haba, that means that even those that were Choteh, even those that sin, even those that aren't good. So he says, when we say the Umot Olam have Olam Haba, they have Olam Haba like the Poshei Bnei Israel, like those that are still entitled to Olam Haba, but they're sinners. The lowest level of Olam Haba that a Jew is entitled to, that's where Chassidei Umot Olam can get to. But Chassidei Bnei Israel, those that keep the Torah, the levels of Torah, or the elements of Torah, entitle them to a much higher level, which the Chassidei Umot Olam cannot reach. So the Maram gives a similar type of idea to the Ikarim. There has to be some distinction between the Olam Haba of the Chassidei Umot Olam and the Chassidei Bnei Israel. There are a couple of shutim, which are just interesting based on this. One is the Shut Mishputei Uziel. Shut Mishputei Uziel discusses a gerut that was not complete. He did a gerut that either was not proper, like today we have many times, gerut that's not proper, or a gerut where he was mal, velo taval, he had a mila, but he didn't do tevila. Well, then we know that he's not a ger, but then he goes and practices like a Jew. He thinks he's a ger, and he goes and practices like a Jew. So what's his din? So the Shut Mishputei Uziel says, I'm sorry, but he's not a Jew. He can't be a Jew. So he'll be classified like Chassidei Umot Olam. That's what he says over there. A ger that doesn't have proper gerut, and then he's been egg like a Jew and keeps all the mitzvot because he thought he was a Jew, or for some reason he thinks that it's okay, he'll be classified, he'll get a reward like chassidei umot olam. So he'll be in that category because he did what was good, he tried to be good, but it wasn't complete, so he never reaches the level of Chayisra. There are two other shutim I want to mention from the Mishnah Halachot. One of them is that a person wants to suggest to him, there are two brachot. When you see someone who's brilliant, if it's a Talmud Chacham, there's one bracha. And when it's a non-Jew who has Chachmat Olam, you make a bracha on him. So he wanted to know, this person wanted to suggest, he wanted to medayik this from a Chayyada, a Jew who is, for instance, a professor. A Jew who is brilliant. But it's not brilliant in Torah. Can you make the bracha, or the same bracha that you make for a non-Jew, can you make on a Jew? So over here, the Mishnah Halachot takes issue with him, and he says that Chachmat Olam, or the Sheva Chachmat, any chokhmah tzai of chokhmah Torah is hevel havalim. And therefore, it doesn't do anything for a person. Vein zeh megi oto l'olam haba. That type of chokhmah brings nobody to olam haba. El sof adam shemid idei l'olam haba hu et elukim yarei ve et mitzvotav shmor. That the only thing that brings a person to olam haba is yirat elukim and keep the mitzvot of Hashem. Vegam chasidei umot olam shizku l'olam haba, and the chasidei umot olam, to get olam haba, einu b'shvil hasheva chokhmah. It's not because of their... There are usukim and other chachmo besides chachmo to Torah. That doesn't help them. The only way they get to Olam Haba is keeping the seven mitzvot like we do by keeping the Torah. So he wants to suggest here that the only vehicle for Olam Haba is the chachmat Torah and chachmat mitzvot, not chachmot that are outside of Torah. And therefore there's no bracha that can be made just for knowing or having the brilliance of Chokhmah, outside of Chokhmat HaTorah for a Jew. In the other tshuva, he discusses the fact, can a Jew named after his child, after a non-Jew? Can we give our children non-Jewish names? So he says that he thinks it's improper. It's totally improper to give a Jewish child a non-Jewish name. He says he doesn't think it's because of Chukotehem Lo Te'lechu. He says that's not true. But the reason is because there is Vavdil Etchem Min Amim. I separated you from the other nations. And to give honor or to name your children after the non-Jewish names seems totally inappropriate. So he says two things after that. He says, number one, I have a deal from the Gemara in Yoma that says that they did. In the time of the Gemara, they named the Jews, or everybody in the Gemara. You have Rabbi Shmuel. You have Rabbi Alexandri. You have all these people who are named for non-Jewish names. How can I make such a claim? So he says, well, that's different. In the time of the Gemara, the Ovdei Chochavim were Chassidei Umot Olam. They kept the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, therefore they named after them. But today, where they don't keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, can't do it. It's very interesting, because we usually say the opposite. That back then, they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and today, the nations are, right, they do keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But here he suggests that that's the difference in the naming. And therefore, he takes strong issue with people who name their children non-Jewish names. He says, us today, who do have non-Jewish names, we can take solace in the fact that we didn't name ourselves. This came from our forefathers, and they already nithar. Because they already became into the Jewish names, because Jews already named them, they're already tahor, and we can name after our forefathers who had somewhat non-Jewish names, because of the fact that they already came in to the names of Jews. They're now Jewish names. So he says that's the melamed zchus on that. The last thing was a zkan aron. So the very last thing about this, that it's kind of wrong, who asks about what happens to a ger. Can a ger say Kaddish? For his father is non-Jewish. So if we say there's Chassidei Umot Olam, that they're entitled to Olam Haba, like we say in our Gemara here in Sanhedrin, then it suggests that if he could possibly say Kaddish. And that's what the Zkan Aron says. Zkan Aron says that the person should be able to say Kaddish for his parent, who is Mechassidei Umot Olam, who's non-Jewish. He says, but a better thing to do is to do other mitzvot or do tehillim. To say tehillim or learn Torah for their zchut. Because he says, mimonof shach, then you win. Either if you can do it for their zchut, then it works. If you can't do it for their zchut, you're still learning Torah. You're still doing tehillim and you benefit from it. So it's better to do it that way. But he says, if he can do it in a way, meaning that he can daven for the omud or say kaddish in a way that it's not obvious that he's saying it for a non-Jew, he should go ahead and say it. Every once in a while, he wants to take the omud and daven during that year after his father passes away. Or he wants to say kaddish, gesundheit, as long as he doesn't make it obvious to other people. Because then he says that it'll turn into a chilul Hashem. People get upset about it, get angry about it, that he's doing this for a non-Jew. All right, the community might be upset. They say, how can you say Kaddish for non-Jew? You could say the Kaddish, but don't do it in a way that becomes a Chilul Hashem. The whole point of doing a Kaddish and others is to give a Kiddush Hashem to him. If you're not going to, if it's going to turn into a Chilul Hashem, it's not worth it. So he says, make sure to do it in a way that doesn't cause angst amongst others or Chilul Hashem amongst others. Anyway, that's just a little flavor for what it means that Umot Olam also have Olam Abba. As a continuing the Gemara, Vafoto Rasha Natan Siman Batzmo, he gave a Siman that he is not entitled to Olam Abba. Why? Amar, Tamut Nafshi Mot Yisharim. I should die like the Mot Yisharim. I mean, like the ones that died before me or the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Im Tamut Nafshi Mot Yisharim. If I die a natural death, Teach Riti Kamo, then I will be entitled to Olam Abba. Bimlav, if I don't die a natural death, Hinine Olech Lami. I'm going with the rest of my nation into, right, out of the ability to get Olam Abba. And we know that Bilam was killed by the sword. When the Bnei Yisrael attack the Midjanim, they also kill Bilam ben Peor by the sword. Ziknei Moab, Ziknei Midjan. When it comes to Ziknei Moab, Ziknei Midjan, Tana. Midjan and Moab, lo ayu lahem shalom me'olam. They never had any peace between them. They were always fighting. Mashal l'shnei klavim, shayu be'eder. Two dogs that were in a flock that they were, and they were competing. They used to fight with each other. They used to embarrass each other. They used to be of enemies. Outside, all of a sudden, an outside animal, right? A wolf comes and attacks them from the outside. One of the dogs. So Hamar Achad. Well, you know what? Not a bad idea. If I let the wolf eat him, then now I'm here alone. But he says, you know, that may not be such a good idea. Why? Because if I don't help him today, today he'll kill him. And then tomorrow he's going to come and kill me, this wolf. So they team up together, the two dogs who were once enemies, and they killed the Zev. Amr Papa, that's what Papa says, Anu Amre Inche, this is what people say, Karkushta Vishunra, if the weasel and the cat get together, Abdu Yilula, they make a party, Mitraba Dabish Gado. It's a lot of bad luck, or a lot of bad things are going to happen. When two natural enemies get together to attack, then a lot of bad things will happen. So that's what happened over here. Moab and Midian, who were natural enemies, right, who were everlasting enemies, when they had a common enemy between them, that they joined together to fight that common enemy, then a lot of bad comes out of that. They tried to curse Bnei Israel, and they later on come to trick them through the Benot Midian. And that this was the end result of them joining forces is something that was very negative. Vayishvu Sarei Moav im Bilam. It says that the Sarei Moav stay with Bilam overnight. After he says, Linu po alayla, you guys stay here tonight. He goes, they stay. But originally, they were both Sarei Moav and Sarei Midian that came. So Mar says, Sarei Midian, Leichan Azlu, why don't they stay overnight? Kevin Damarlehu, once he said to them, Lino Po Alayla, Bashivoti Etchem Devar, stay here tonight and I'll tell you what Hashem says. Amku Liesh Av Shasoned Beno. He says, let me go check with Hashem. So since when does a father ever hate their son? They know God is, you know, Hashem is the father of Bnei Israel. And if Bilam's already saying, I gotta go ask Hashem, they know what the answer is gonna be. Hashem's not gonna give him permission to curse. So they left. Sarei Midian said, this is hopeless, and they leave. So only the Sarei Moav stay. And that's why it says that even though Sarei Midian and Sarei Moav came to him, Samim Biyadam, nevertheless, when he says stay overnight, the only ones that stay with the Sarei Moav, because Sarei Midian says it's over. Amar Rav Nachman, Chutzpah Afilu Kaplei Shemayim Ahani. Chutzpah works even when it's directed against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mikaraktiv, in the beginning it says, Lo Teilechim Ahem. The first time Bilam goes and asks Hashem, Hashem says, don't go with them. And the second time that the Sarei Moav come, they say, Kum Lechitam, go with them. So what is that? That means that in the first place, he asks and says no, and he kept asking. He had chutzpah and he asked again. And when he asked again, Hashem said, go ahead. So you see that chutzpah helps, even klapei Shemaya. And I remember Rav Sheshet, chutzpah machuto below tagahi. Chutzpah is, or it's a malka below tagahi, is a king without a crown. And that chutzpah is so strong. It's such a strong midah. It's such a, gives a person a sense of authority, a sense of rulership that it's basically like being a king without a crown. How do I know that? David says, today I'm young and I just became, I was anointed the king. The people of Bnei Tzuria are much harder than me. They have a chutzpah. Because they went ahead and they killed against the word of the king, they killed Abner Bener. And David says, listen, I can't do much about this because all I have over them is that I'm the king. I have the crown. They're like kings because they act with chutzpah. So you see over here that chutzpah has such a strength that it's, you know, the only thing that David had over them was that he had the crown. But other than that, they were on equal footing with David because they had this chutzpah. Rabbi Yochanan, Bilam chiger beraglo achataya. Bilam was lame on when one leg. Shneamar bayelech shefi. Because it says by Bilam that he walked b'shefi. What is shefi? So the word shefi is from dislocation or dislocated. So that's the meaning which the Rashi brings from the Gemara in Chulin, which is buka d'atma d'shaf miduchte. It's dislocated from its location. So that's over here that he was also, one of his legs was either missing or dislocated so that he couldn't walk at the limb. Shimshon b'shtei raglav. Shimshon was a lame or he was somehow dislocated in both legs. Shneamar shrifon aleyora chanoshech ikveisus, which is the bracha to Dan, which is shrifon, is like a serpent aleyora that goes on the way and a shech ikveisus that bites the heels of the horses. Why is he shrifon? Why is he going on the derech? Because he has no legs, right? The serpent or the snake has no legs. So the same thing here. Obviously, it's not literally. Shimshon's a, you're right, gibor nora. So what does it mean that here? It means that obviously his strength didn't come from himself. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like he has his own. It's not his own strength. It's the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the strength. Right, so now the Gemara is going to be darshaning from the klalot of Bilam certain words. So Shemar, he describes himself as shtum ha'ayin. What does that mean? Shtum ba'ayin. So that's what Gemara says. Bilam Suma b'chad meinavaya. He was blind in one eye. Shneamar shtumayin, because it says shtumayin. Now, the Rashi says, don't read this as stumayin with one eye closed, because it's not it's a shin and not a sin. So don't read it like a samach stumayin, that is a closed eye, as a sin. It's actually a shin, which is shtum. Shtum means to be open. So shtumayin means open eye. But it only says eye and not ayinayin. So that's how they know suma b'chad meinav, because one of his eyes was open and not the other. Now, kosein b'matoaya. He's a kosem. He did sorcery with his member. Dichtiv nofel ugluinayim, because he fell over and then he was revealed to him. Dichtiv hatam, and it says by Miglat Esther, by Haman, hine Haman nofel al amita. He goes to ask, he's trying to beg Esther for mercy, says nofel al amita, and in comes Achashverosh and says, agam, dichvoshet amalkai imi babait. Well, you're trying to sleep with the Malkai here while I'm here? How could you do that? So here you see that nofel here is some sort of term that's used in sexual conduct. So also over here, by us, Nofelu Gluinayim teaches us that he was like the Ovu Yidoni, or whatever sorcery that he practiced, he did it through his member. Itmar, we have a similar idea. Marzutramar Kosein Bamatoaya, that he did this sorcery, or all of his action through his member. Marbre Dravina Mar Shaba Al Otono, that he slept with his animal. Mandarmar Kosein Bamatoaya Kedamran. The one who says that he was kosim ba'amato, that he uses his member through his sorcery, we already explained that. How do you know that he slept with his animal? It says here, actually in this part of the nevuah, this is actually part of the brachot, right? It says, kara shachav. It's in the middle of the brachot to Bnei Israel. Kara shachav glavi. It's a description of Bnei Israel. So why are they using it here? So you see over here on the side, the end mishpat says, kol over la psukim yireh, ta kara shachav, k'tiv b'pasha palach, right, Chavdal Pasuk Tet, Karash Chav Ki Ari Uchlavi Miyikimenu B'Shevach LeYisrael Nemra. It's about the praise of Bnei Israel. The Mefarish B'Targum for Rashi V'Chaim V'Brachot. Ain Sham De'in Linyan Karash Chav Shum Shaychut LeBilam. Cloud has nothing to do with Bilam. Right, Umitzvah LeTakein LeZbir says you have to explain this Gemara. Ain Mashpata B'Tikunei Kli Sharet. Look at these other people, the Tikunei Kli Sharet. But he says I don't understand how to explain this Gemara based on the fact that. Based on the fact that this Karash Achav falls out in the Brachot and not about Bilam himself. Nevertheless, what we have in our Gemara is Karash Achav, Uchtiv Hotam, and then it says by Yael and Sisra, Ben Karagla, this is in Shirat Devorah, when she's speaking about Yael, she says when he got Sisra, Ben Raglea Kara Nafal Shachav. So that's Ben Karagla over there is a sexual innuendo, saying that Sisra slept with Yael, and now we have from the Gemara Darshans and other places. So over here, Karash Achav is that Bilam slept with his animals. Right? Again, how it fits into the Psukim is very difficult. I'll just leave that outstanding because it's not, doesn't seem easy to reconcile what the Gemara was saying over here. He says about himself. Bilam says about himself. He knows that alone. He knows the ways of God. He knows the knowledge of Hashem. Hashra dat bem tolo of the other over here. It's like the Gemara in Brachot that he didn't know his own what his animal was saying. Right? He didn't know what his animal was doing. Dat alone of the other. He knew what Hashem wanted because by the case he didn't see that why his animal was nistem in aderech. He didn't understand why his animal was moving away from the Malach Hashem. And you say he knows yodei dat alone. So my dat bemto, what does it mean they didn't know dat bemto? Damrilei, my time alorachavt sus, or susia, susia. The sarim that are with him say, why don't you ride a horse? Why are you riding a donkey? If somebody of your stature should be riding a horse. Amalu, shadailuhu beritiva. A chamor is a lot better. You know why he's better? Because he doesn't need hay, dried out hay to eat. He can go out in the fields and graze, and he's satisfied. So he's easier to feed. So amrilei, he says, amalu anuchi atoncha. So he says, wait a minute. You know, I am your donkey. I mean, you're not just using me temporarily now because it's easy to feed me on the derech. You never ride a sus. You always ride me as a chamor. So that's his chamor says to him, Alo anochi adoncha, I am your chamor, I am your donkey. So he says, Latina ba'alma, I use you normally for loading goods on it. I don't ride you. I usually put goods on you. Asher rechavtalai. So the aton says, no, you ride me. He says, I cry ba'alma, sometimes I ride you. Like now, when I need to, on occasion, I ride you. Not all the time. Smo'otcha adiyom azeh. From the first day, from forever, you've been riding me. Right, so he says, the Aton is rebuking. Bilam was trying to pretend like he doesn't know this Aton. And he comes along and says, no, you've been riding me forever. You sleep with me, I am like your wife at night. It says, Haskeni skanti. Right, the donkey says to him, Haskeni skanti. Actually here, it's from the word sakana. Did I ever put you in danger? The donkey says, have I ever done wrong by you that you got upset at me this time? The Gemara here is going to dash in from the word sochein. Sochein is to nurse, to take care, or to warm up. When they bring her to warm David HaMelech in the end of his life, it says, Vetilo, or it's really, the pasuk says, Vetila Melech. Sochenet, there's no word low there. Vetila Melech, Sochenet, it was for the king, right, a nursemaid or a warming. She warmed him up. She took care of him. But Kiruv Basar, so the same thing over here. Askenis Kanti is the donkey said to him, you slept with me. That's you warmed me up. You were Sochein Iti. And that's what it means that he doesn't know Dat Bento. His animal is rebuking him. His animal over here is telling him about, he's trying to say something. Oh, no. To the Sarami Jan, he's downplaying it. And the animal's coming along and saying to him, you're wrong. That's not true. You acted this way with me, and you've been, right, using me as your wife for many years. If that's the case, what does it mean that he knows dat alyon? If he doesn't know dat beim to, how can he say yodea dat alyon? It's part of the nevuah that he has. He knew that moment when Hashem gets angry. And therefore he wanted to use that moment when he was angry and curse B'nai Israel at that time. That's what the Navi says to Israel. This is Achtora for Parshat Balak. Remember what Balak tried to give advice and what Bilam ben Or said to him. Minashitim. Ada Gilgal, from the Shittim until the Gilgal, there's no Vav there. In the Pasuk, Ada Gilgal, L'man Dat Got Hashem, you should know that Tzedaka of Hashem. What does that mean, Tzedaka of Hashem? My L'man Dat Tzedaka of Hashem, Arlema Kodesh Baruch Yisrael. Duna, Kama Tzidkot, Asiti Imachem, how much good I did for you. Shloki Astin Kol Atan Yamin, Bimei Bilam HaRasha, I never got angry during those days. Shil Malei Kasti, it should be with an Aleph, Shil Malei Kasti, had it been that I got angry. Right, there would not have been of the enemies of Israel, it's Lashon Saginor, right? There wouldn't have been of a single Jew left, because Bilam would have been able to curse you and wipe you out. So I know Kamalay Bilam the Balak, Malkov, Lokabokel. So that's why Bilam says to Balak, listen, when I wanted to curse, Hashem didn't allow me to curse. What does it mean he didn't allow me to curse? Because the Sha'ah, that moment where he normally got angry, he didn't get angry. So I couldn't use it. I couldn't use that. He wanted to you have to take his power, really the power of Bilam derives from the fact that there is an existing something in the world, and then he can't create something from nothing. So if he wants Hashem to get angry, he has to take when Hashem is naturally angry and extend it onto B'nai Israel. But if Hashem never gets angry, he can't create the anger of Hashem without Hashem being angry. That's exactly what happened. Hashem says, I'm not going to get angry during these yamim, so he can't leverage this anger in order to curse B'nai Israel. Akel Zuam B'chol Yom. Right, so Hashem gets angry on every day. How angry does he get every day? Rega, for a moment. Shinemar, we say in Mizmeh Shir Chanukat Habayit, Ki rega ve'apo chayim birtzano. He's angry for a moment, and life is at his will. Yibayit Eima, that we learned from here. Lech Ami, bo b'chaderecha, you, my nation, go hide in your rooms. Uskor delatecha and delatcha, close your doors, v'adecha. Chachabi, hide, kim at rega. For a moment, ajavor zam, until the anger passes. So you see again there, for that moment, for a moment, there's anger, you should go in and hide from the anger of Hashem, but the anger of Hashem is only for a moment. Emat ratach. When does Hashem get angry? When is this moment that Hashem gets angry? It says, "V'tlat shai kamaita." During the first 3 hours of the day, ki chavra karbalata detanagol. When the crown of the rooster turns white, it says, "Kol shata v'shata nami chivra." All time, all the day, it's white. The crown of the rooster. So it says, "Kol shata v'shata it beisuke sumke." All time, the day, it's much pale. It's like a pale white, but it has red streaks in it. Haishat, at that moment, lake besuruke sumke, there's no red or tint of red in it. It's all white at that moment. When it's all white at that moment, that's the time to the cursing when Hashem is angry. How mina da bishuvute de Rabbi Shimon Levi? This was this min. Whoever this person was a, either, it depends how you define what a min is, whether he was a Jew that gave him trouble, right, that, or he was a non-Jew that was giving him trouble. Da avakom mitzarle. Giving him a difficult time all the time. Yomachad naka tarnagolta v'asar lebi karei, or tarnagol, asar lebi tarnagola, asar lebi karei. He brought in a rooster and tied it to the foot of his bed. V'otiv, and he sat there watching it to see when its crown would turn white, and he would curse the min based on when that moment was. So Amar kimata ushaita el teye. When that moment comes, I'll curse him. Kimata ishata nimnim. When that moment came, he dozed off. So Amar, he says, Shema mina alav orach ara. That's not the right thing to do, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Gam anosh letzadik lo tov. When the tzadik causes punishment, or when punishment happens, it's not good for the tzadik. We saw this before by Navot Israeli. When he goes out to punish Achav as the ruach, Hashem says, Tzemi mechitzati. Go out of my mechitza, because when a punishment comes to a tzadik, the tzadik also, right, loses out, or is punished for that. That's why Gam anosh letzadik lo tov. So I feel it be mine lo. So it's even with mini, but even by mean, it's inappropriate to curse them in this type of case. I feel the mini. I'm sorry. Lo yibayle the meimar hachi. Even by mean, you don't say such a thing. I mean, we don't curse them because it's not appropriate for the tzaddik to bring punishment to others. Tanya shmei the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, "B'shasher chamaz zorachat, when the sun rises, v'malachim enichim kidreim arushem." The kings get up and put their crowns on their heads. Umishtachavim lechaman, they bow down to the sun. Miad kweis. That's when Hashem gets angry. You wonder what that moment is. When do kings get up? We know that from the Gemara Brachot. What time is Zman Kriyat Shema? Zman Kriyat Shema is until the third hour of the day. Why is it up to the third hour of the day? Because that's the hour when the kum, when the kings get up still, when people awaken. When they awaken up to the third hour. So that's why the moment where Hashem gets angry is on the third hour when the kings get up. They put on their crowns and they bow down to the sun. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. That's the moment where he gets angry. Vayakam Bilam baboker vayachavosh et atono. But he gets up in the morning and he saddles his donkey. Tana mishum rabishim by Lazar ava mevatel et shura shel gdola. When it comes to love, and I would say over here, love causes a person to do irrational things. That's how I would read it. Rashi says, mevatel et shura gdola is that it's coming from the word greatness or dignity. Or it's not appropriate for his standing. Right? So the Shura Shel Gdula, which is the way that a person of that stature should conduct themselves. It was beneath their dignity to saddle their horse or to saddle their donkey. So here Avraham and Vatel Shura is that the Ava that Avraham had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him not to act beneath his dignity. Again, like I said, that it causes a person to do something that's irrational. Avraham dechtiv, Vashkem Avraham Babukir. Avraham gets up in the morning and he saddles his own donkey. Sinam evatel et shura shel gdula. Again, the same thing here, that hate does the same thing, makes a person act below his dignity, or again, makes him irrational, because mibilam, shenemar v'yikam bilam baboker v'chalosh et atono. He himself saddled his own donkey, which was beneath his dignity. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, l'olam yosok adam b'torah uv'mitzvah afilu shelo lishma, shebitoch shelo lishma balishma. A person should always do mitzvot shelo lishma, in order that they should come, Torah and mitzvot, in order that they should come lishma. It should come to the point where it is lishma. Shibschar 42 karbanot shekriv Balak zachav yatzam imenu rut. Because of the 42 karbanot that Balak brings over here, they bring three times. Bilam says to him, set up the karbanot shiva ilim and shiva parim. Put on 7 mizbechot, 7 parim and 7 alim and parim. So that's 14 karbanot he brought each time before he had the nevuah. Did 3 times. So 3 times 14 is 42. So from those 42 korbanot that Balak brought, obviously it's Lo Lishma because he was bringing them to curse Bnei Israel. He wasn't bringing them for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, he still was Zachav Yatzam Mimena Rut. That Rut was his child or his descendant was Rut because of this she did Shalom Lishma. And that time Rabbi Yossi Baruna, Rut Bito Shel Eglon Ben Beno Shel Balak, Melech Moab Haita. That Rut was actually the daughter of Eglon, Melech Moab, was found in Shoftim. That's why he Bimei Shvot Shoftim. That she was the daughter of Eglon, the great-granddaughter, or many, probably just the descendant of Balak, the king of Moab. So that's because of this, she said, I did mitzvot shlo lishma. You know, in general, that there is a machlokus about the girsa, whether Torah and mitzvot should be included over here. But it's yasok adam, but Torah mitzvot, whether it should include both of those words, Torah and mitzvot, right, or just one of the two. We won't discuss that, it's in other Gemara's, Tosus discusses it. But I do want to just give you a quick header is, what does it mean that a person should do something, shalishma, balishma? So that, yeah, first of all, the Rambam, the famous Rambam at the end of Sefer Makot, the Rambam at the end of Sefer Makot, at the end of the Mishnah Makot, in his parish Mishnayot says, what does it mean that Akash Bracho and Chinya Akash Omer Ratzah Akash Bracho Zak Yisrael Fika Hirbalem Mitzvot? So what does the Rambam say over there? Why was the Fika Hirbalem Mitzvot? Because there can't be a mitzvah, that one mitzvah that you didn't do Lishma. Shem wanted to give us multiple opportunities to do a mitzvah Lishma. So that's why he gave us the ability to do many mitzvot, so we get at least one of them that will be Lishma. So that's by the mitzvot. By the Torah, the Rambam says, Tchilat Dinos is in Hilchot Tamut Torah. The Rambam says, Tchilat Dinos Shel Adam Nidon Al Talmud. Yet your judgment, first part of your judgment is on Torah. Rachel Kach Hashar Masav, then everything else. Tefikach Ruch Chmi Lolam Yasuk Adam B'Torah Ben Lishma. Ben Shlo Lishma, Shok Shlo Lishma, Ba Lishma. You should do Torah Shlo Lishma in order to reach the point of Lishma, because that is the Tchilat Din of a person. So you need to get it, you need some sort of start in order to, you should do it, whatever you have to do, just do it, because it's going to protect you, the Olam Abba. And that's the Rambam discusses in Hilchot Tshuva, that there are actually stages along the way. The stages are that a person should go Shlo Lishma, like when he deals with children, or starting people out in Torah, that is that he should start to learn Torah, Shlo Lishma, and then get to Lishma. And that's what he describes here. What is Lo Lishma? Lo Lishma is when you get it through Yirah and through Kabbalat Tzchar. If you get them candies to learn Torah, you tell them that if they don't learn the Torah, they're going to be punished. So that, or they don't do the mitzvah, they'll be punished. That's Shlo Lishma, according to Rambam. What's Lishma, according to Rambam? Is that when you do it, Mechachma, when you come and they have knowledge and they have the ability, intellectual capacity, is that they learn Torah, Me'avat Hashem. That they do Avodah Me'ava. So Rambam says Shlo Lishma is Mi'ira, or from Perschar, and Avodah Lishma is Derech Ahava. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, the famous Rav Chaim Volozhin, discusses this in the Nefesh HaChaim, what it means, Shlo Lishma, Ba Lishma. And the Rav Chaim Volozhin says that you have to start out Shlo Lishma in order to get to Lishma. Because they're, like in everything in the world, you have to, there are stages in doing something. There's always a stepping stone or ladders that get you from the lowest form up to the highest form. And you can't just jump in and learn Torah Lishma. That just doesn't happen naturally. There's a stages or stepping stones, and one of those stepping stones is doing Torah Shlo Lishma, that eventually will bring the person to the point where they will learn Torah Lishma. And he says, Torah Lishma means literally to learn Torah. Torah Shbal Peh, Torah Shbichtav. He says that, and this is in his arguments, or his disagreement with the Hasidim, right, that he says, I see now that they're Batei Midrashot, that all they have in them are Sifrei Musar. Because these people want to make sure that they do it Lishma, so they spend all their time learning Sifrei Musar and delving into these issues of Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem in order that they get to that point where they're going to learn Torah Lishma. He says it's totally mixed up and wrong. That the Musar is only is the Tafel. The Ikar is to learn Torah. The Musar helps us with our Midot and helps us to direct us so that we learn more Torah. But if it becomes the Ikar, if the Musar becomes the Ikar, then you've missed the point. Because, true, the Musar helps you learn the Shema. But you can't just do the Musar, because then you'll never do what's right, or you'll never, the Ikar should be the Torah. So you have to do the Torah as the majority of your time, and the Musar as the minority of your time, in order that it brings you to the point of Shlo Lishma, Ba Lishma. And he says this also in another essay, in the Ruach HaChaim, of Chaim Volozhin also says a similar thing by davening. He says, many people say, I'll daven when I can have right Kavanah. I'll only daven when I can do it Lishma, do it with the right Kavanah. So he says, it'll never happen. You know why? Because a person who doesn't daven regularly will also never daven at the point when they have to do Lishma. He says, if you daven every day, even though that every daven you do is not perfect and it's not done lishma and doesn't have the proper kavanot, nevertheless, if you daven every day, there's a chance that one day you will daven lishma, that you will come to that sense. So therefore, it's worth it to daven every day. It's worth it to learn Torah every day, because the only way you can reach lishma is if you do shalom lishma to start with. Or if you have to be osuk b'torah. You have to be osuk b'tfilah, otherwise you'll never get to the point of lishma. The person says, I'll wait to learn until I do lishma. They will never learn. Because it takes a certain amount of hashkah and learning to get there, to do it in the first place. So once you do lishma and you're already mugal to do it, then you can reach the point of lishma. True of learning during of davening, it's an important statement that we should never just say, oh, when it feels good, that I will do it. The Rav Chaim Volozhin also has the other point that he says, what is Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma, he says, is learn Torah for the sake of Torah, which is a little slightly different definition than the Rambam has, that learning Torah Me'ava. He says, oh yeah, it's learning Torah for Torah's sake, for the sake of Torah itself, not necessarily Aliba de Ilkhasa, not necessarily for any outcome, but truly just to understand the Dat Hashem. It's just a small flavor in Mitok Shalom Lishma, Balishma. Right now, the Gemara continues. Amalei Rovo the Rabbo, Bar Mari Ktiv, it says, Yetiv Elokim et Shem Shlomo Mishmecha. Right, the people, when they anointed Shlomo to be the king, and all the people that gathered, it says that your name, Shlomo, should be greater than the name of your father, David. V'yigadel kiso mikisecha, and his throne should be greater than the throne of David HaMelech. It says, Arach Arul HaMemelech, the Malkofik, how can you speak to the king like this? That your son after you will be greater than you. That's not right. People are get upset. They'll chalash da'ata, you'll get sick, you'll get upset, you'll be bothered by the fact that people want their child to be greater than him. So he says back to him, Ein kamra ale. Doesn't mean literally to be greater, but rather he'll be a derivative. He'll be like or similar to. Dilo temach, you don't say this, Tivorach minashim Yael, eshet chever keni. How could you say about Yael that Yael was on the same plane as our mothers? Right, the mothers of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Balea, how can you say she's on the same level? Minashim Baal, Tovarach, Nashim Baal, Maninu. Who are the Nashim Baal? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Balea. Rashi does brings down Psukim that show that they were in the OL. Orach, Ara, Lamemarachi. Could you say that Yael was on the same level as our mothers? Elam Ein, as our Imahot, Elam Ein Kamar. It means like she was similar to them. She was a derivative of them. So Tovir, Achanami, by Shlomo, Amelech, you're also saying that Ishir Kisei should be, your name should be like the name of your father, and your Kisei should be greater, not greater, literally greater, but it should be of the type of your father. Upliga de Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni, this argues on the position of Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni, Dam Rabbi Yossi Bar Choni, B'chol Adam Mitkaneh Chutz Mibno V'Talmido, a person is jealous or is upset by the accomplishments or the successes of others, except for his son and his student. B'no Mishlomo, we know that his son, because of Shlomo, what we just stated, the Pesuk over here, they praised him despite the fact that David was still alive. V'Talmido, how do we know that a student he's not jealous of? Iber Deima, we know it from Elisha and Eliyahu, because Eliyahu asks Elisha, what does he want? And he says to Eliyahu, V'ina Pishnayim Beruchcha Eli, that you should give me the nevuah, my nevuah should be two times, right, the level of your nevuah, and Eliyahu acquiesced to do this, despite the fact that it would make Eliyahu Elisha a greater Navi than him. He was fine with that because he was a Talmid of his. V'ibaytema, that it's actually about Moshe and Yoshua, because it says by Moshe, he's instructed by Hashem to place, that put one yad on him. Nevertheless, when Moshe comes to, gives the bicha to Yoshua and to make him into leader, it says, V'ismoch et yadav alav v'yitzaveu, that he puts both hands on him. He did it b'shefel bracha, he gave to Yoshua with a full heart, because he was not jealous of his student. So now it says, V'yaseim Hashem devar b'fi Bilam, that Hashem put the word into the mouth of Bilam. Rabbi Elazar Omer Malach, gave him a malach, which was whipping him or forcing him to say what he had to say. And Rabbi Yonatan Amar, chikah, they put a hook in his mouth, meaning that they had hooked him in and said, you got to speak, you got to say what I'm telling you to say. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mi berkatosho torashat alameid ma'ya b'libo. From his bracha, you know that he wanted to curse. Bikesh lomar shlo yilehem batei knesiyot batei midrashot. He wanted to say that Bnei Yisrael should never be zocheh to have batei knesiyot batei midrashot. What's the response to that? Matovo o alecha Yaakov. Tovo alecha Yaakov. Who are the olim of Yaakov? That's the batei midrash and batei knesiyot. Lo tishra shchina alehem. That Hashem should not be shorei shchina on them. It says, Mishkanotecha Yisrael. And there's no vav in the pasuk. That the Mishkanot Yisrael. What is Mishkanot? Is the Shechina. Those where the Yisrael have the Shechina upon them. So with the Mishkanotecha Yisrael is the positive side. It means that what he wanted to curse them with was the fact that they wouldn't have the Shechina Bishoret. Their kings or their kingdom should not last for a long time. The bracha continues, they will flow like the rivers. They shouldn't have vineyards and olive trees. It says, kiganot aleinar, like the fields that grow up around the rivers. They shouldn't smell nice, meaning that they shouldn't be of pleasant nature. It says, ka'olim nata Hashem, that they were like the ohalim that Hashem planted. The ohalim can be ohel, like a tent, but ohalim could also be the ohel, which is a type of incense or perfume that they used in their time. Their king should not be of stature, because it says, the Pasuk then says, they will be like the cedars that come up on the water. They should not have a kingdom that is built around a single lineage. It says, Izal Mayim Midalyav, that the water should flow from its pot, meaning that it should come from one, that the lineage of David should continue on forever. They should not rule over the other nations. It says, Vizaro Bimayim Rabim, their offspring is like Mayim Rabim, like great waters, meaning that they overwhelm or take over others. Their malchut should not be strong. It says, "Vayarom miagag malko." That will be even stronger than Agag, the king of Amalek. There should be no fear, or there should be no sense of trepidation from their kingdom. It says, "Vatinase malchuto." That Hashem carried their malchut was uplifted, so that people would look up to them. So over here, you see from all the curses, all the brachot that he gave, what his original intent was, because we say, Ba'afoch, Hashem l'chata klala l'vracha, Hashem changed the curse to a bracha. So once we see the bracha, we can tell you what the curse was that he was trying to say. Amar Rabbi Abba Barkana kulam chazru l'klala. All these things that Bilam said for a bracha, that he changed the klala to a bracha, they all went back to being a klala when Bnei Yisrael didn't behave properly, except for one, chutz mivatei knesiot u batei midrashot, the curse that they will not have shuls and batei midrashot, and that's just not true, that bracha stayed and never went away. Shenemar, v'yifok Hashem lecha, elokech lecha, taklala livracha. Hashem changed the curse to a bracha. Ke'evcha Hashem lokech, because Hashem loved you. Wait, why is it written klala in the singular and not klalot in the plural? Klala v'lo klalot. So what is the one klala, meaning the singular, that remains as a bracha? That's the bracha that you always have, batei knesiot and batei midrashot. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, what does it mean when the pasuk says, "Nemanim pitzei ohev b'nei atarot nishikot soneh"? That better are the wounds of someone who is kind to you or loves you than the superfluous kisses of an enemy. Tova kila shikila lechia shalani at Israel. Better is the curse that lechia shalani gave to Israel. You don't tell me bracha shebekem Bilam Arashad than the bracha that Bilam gave them. Lechia shalani kila at Israel. He cursed them bekaneh, that you'll be like a reed. Shnevar vika Hashem at Israel basher yanuda kaneh b'mayim, that Hashem will hit them like the way that the brush or the bulrush is in the near the water bend under the wind. Ma kaneh zeh made b'makom b'mayim, just like this kaneh. Right, this rush stands by the waters, begins omachlif, and it can replenish itself. It has great roots. All the winds of the earth come and blow on it. They can't move it from its place. It moves with the wind. It's flexible. As soon as the wind stops, they stand up again. Bimkoma goes back to its natural standing position. So that's actually what the Gemara says. In other places, that a person, right, that person should be rach kikaneh, a person should be soft like a kaneh, flexible, and not strong or solid like a erez. They should be flexible, and therefore they will not, that flexibility is a good midah on the person rather than the erez, that they're stubborn and implanted and strong in place. And that's what Bilam Rasha called them karazim. Called Bnei Yisrael like an Eretz. What's like the problem with the Eretz? My Eretz zeh made bimkom mayim, doesn't stand where there's water. V'shar shav mu'atim has small roots. V'enki zeh machleif, and it doesn't replenish itself in any way. Afilu kol ruchot shavalom ba'ot v'nashvopo emi zizino toto min come on. All the winds come and blow, it doesn't move it because it's such a strong and big tree. Kevin shenish babo ruach chomit. As soon as there's a strong southerly wind, miyado kerto v'achto panav, it topples the tree over. Ella v'lo oda shezacha kanaya liot mimeno kumus lichtov mimeno sefer Torah. And so also the neviim v'ktuvim, that the kumus or the kaneh can be used to write things which are the Sferefrei Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. So that's something positive out of Kaneh versus the cedar, which doesn't have that skut. So the fact that Achia Shaloni, when he said Hashem's going to attack or ruin Bnei Israel, he says he's going to treat them like a Kaneh, that curse was that bracha to Klai Yisrael, because Kaneh is a positive item. Whereas Bilam, who gave them the bracha of the Arazim, also has the negative aspect that the Arazim don't have the ability to withstand a strong wind. Okay, we'll stop over here.